Okay, would you turn your Bible to John chapter 12, please? All right, two professional sports teams, Dallas Cowboys and New York Yankees. See what I mean? It's the same reaction. Either you love them, you hate them. There's nothing in between, a whole lot. If you are for them, I mean, they are head over heels in love with them. And then if you don't like them, it's like a, I despise it. I hate them. It's like all these things, the verbs they use. You know what? When it comes to Jesus, the dividing line does not remain a thin line. It becomes adoration by his followers or by abhorrence by the haters. It was that way when he walked on earth, and still the same, and it is going to become more distinctive as time passes. There's some people who cannot come up with any worse word to describe God. They literally hate God. One of them is Bill Maher. You know who he is. He has his own show. He's an atheist. He cannot talk anything good about God because he's an atheist. Acknowledging the presence of God in this world is just against their being. Let's stop here. And Father, we were one of them. We despised you. We were enemy against your word, against your presence, against everything that you stood for and stand for. While we're still sinners, you reached out to us and scooped so low to bring us out of the muck and mire from bottom of the barrel. You extend your grace toward us. You extend your mercy to us that we may be called the sons and daughters of God, God Almighty. You lavishly you pour out your love toward us through Jesus Christ, and you abundantly give us the purpose of life that we may be filled our heart with the joy and peace that comes from you alone. The world cannot offer anything. The world cannot do it to fill that void without you. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart that we may adore you, love you, worship you with not only Sunday. It's a small amount of our life, only 2-3 hours. But let us follow you, honor you for the rest of the day, rest of the week, rest of the month, and rest of our lives, giving you all the glory. For you deserve. Father, we pray for President Trump. Father, he is facing a lot of attacks. He's not making it easier by saying things that cause a problem. Father, let him come to know Christ, find the salvation in Jesus Christ, and do what you want him to do. Father, we also pray for our troops around the world, especially the one in the harm's way, and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Father, we are asking your will be done. Pray this in Jesus' name. Would you turn your Bible to John chapter 12? John chapter 12, verse 1. Here is a timeline that the Lord gave to us through Apostle John. Then 6 days before the Passover, what does it mean? 6 days before the crucifixion. Jesus came to Bethany where the Lazarus, he was out in the Ephraim area. Remember last week we studied that? About 15 miles north of this Jerusalem. Where Lazarus was, who had been dead and whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they made him a supper. Obviously they are from south. The average people call dinner, right? From the people from the south called supper. And Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who ate at the table with him. Stop there, please. the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was slain on the very day, the Passover day, when lambs in the temple were slain. Perfect timing. This incident happened 6 days before. This dinner supper incident happened 6 days before the crucifixion. The intensity is getting thicker and stronger and stronger. This account was also recorded in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14. Though I am running ahead of text, I should let you know that the account happened in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50 is not the same account. Remember, the woman came to him, the Simon the Pharisee's home, anointed his feet, and wiped that perfume and with her tears, and wiped the tears with her hair. That woman was Mary Magdalene, former prostitute. This Mary, again, now we're having two identical names, Mary and Simon. Simon here is Simon the leper, former leper, and Simon in the book of Luke is Simon the Pharisee. Are you with me on that? And the Mary is not the same Mary. This Mary is a virtuous woman, and the other Mary from the book of Luke is Mary Magdalene. And the location is different. Luke chapter 7 is happened in Galilee, northern Israel. This happened in Bethany, which is southern Israel. So it's two different things. Dinner was given to Jesus as an expression of gratitude for the resuscitation of Lazarus. True to her nature, Martha was busy serving. Even though it's not her house. Do you know somebody? They love to serve. They love to cook. They love to do the dishes. You invite them to provide them a dinner, nice cooked meal. Guess what they do? They look for the opportunity to serve. And when you make them to sit down and eat, and after the meal is done, they promptly get up and do all the dishes for you and pull out all the things that come from the cupboard and arrange it in alphabetical order. Do you know somebody like that? Probably you do. You love to have them. They're terrific people. They love to serve other people. Serving the Lord, listen, serving the Lord and His people was Mary's way to love, adore, and worship Him. It is her language of love for Jesus. Am I making sense? That's a part of her way to do it. Do you know that just about every church is supported? I mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it again. Supported and run by 10% of Christians who work in many different areas. In other words, 90% of born-again Christians who practically choose not to serve others as if it's not their requirement. Guess what? Newsflash. According to the Word of God, all of us are to serve one another. And you may say, well, show me in the Bible. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, please. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Got that? So if you've been coming here for some time, more than 3 months, guess what? You need to be involved in the ministry. Be a part of ministry, serve the Lord, and serve the body of Jesus Christ. Comprende? Okay. Let's move on. Jesus Himself teaches us that He came to serve, not to be served. Being His followers, how much more should we follow His example? If you are not serving the Lord and His people, you need to do that now. Because you will be the one who will be blessed. Go to verse 3, please. Now we're going to see the adoration of Mary for Jesus. Then Mary took the pound of a very costly oil of a spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And her house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. When you combine all three accounts that mentioned in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, we learn that Mary anointed not only Jesus' feet, also anointed the head, mentioned in Book of Mark. It's an act of pure love and adoration on her part. It was totally boundless and unselfish love. And you may say, why you say it unselfish love? I'll explain. In a way, Mary was showing her devotion to Jesus just because before it's too late. She was giving her fragrant bouquet of roses for the funeral of Jesus while she is still alive, instead of bringing them to the funeral. It was an act of worship in public. It is spontaneous, sacrificial, and lavish, personal, and unembarrassed. I know some of you guys are too cool to raise your hand during the worship time, while you're singing. Because it says in the Bible, raise your hand, lift up your hand, and worship the Lord, right? And to clap your hand, it's in the psalm, but you're too cool, so you keep your hands like this. I'll never do that. Some don't even sing. Why? Guess what we're going to do in heaven? We're going to worship the Lord, we're going to sing, we're going to clap hands, we're going to do all that thing. You might as well practice down here, dude. And do that, you're missing. You're missing out. There are two important things that we should learn from what Mary did. Number one, Mary knew about the upcoming death of Jesus while others, including his own disciples, didn't. Jesus told his disciples and others many times who were close to him about his imminent death on the cross, time after time. None of them understood. Because their mind was always on the flesh side, on the earthly things. They weren't thinking about heavenly side. How could she know it while others didn't? There are three accounts Mary was mentioned in the Gospels when she was with Jesus. Each time we find her at the feet of Jesus. Are you with me on that? She was listening to him, paying attention to him. She was not, it's one of those things like what we did when we were in high school. Go into one ear, get out to the another ear. Sorry to the teachers. A lot of your students, that happened. There's a big tunnel between the 2 years. But when it comes to come and eat this food, they are all for it. They hear, they block that thing. Catch that thing right away. Known as selective hearing, right? We all have that. When God speaks to you, you better listen. When you read the Word of God, you better listen. Don't open this as, okay, should I do this or should I not? Look for all the yes answer. If you don't like it, go to the next page. Bible is not a crystal ball. Crystal ball, by the way, crystal ball is nothing more than just ball. Because she was at the feet of Jesus, she was listening to him. In other words, there's no other way to learn about Jesus than through the Word of God, the Bible. Amen? Take the Word of God daily. Daily devotion. If you are not doing the daily devotion, you're not listening to him. And you may say, well, I pray. What is the definition of a conversation? Going back and forth. Am I correct? Yes or no? Come on. What would you call if I just talk and you just listen? That's lecture or monologue. It's not dialogue. Your time with God is supposed to be dialogue. Conversation with God. You hear from God through this book. You speak to Him in prayer. So if you just pray, blah, 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 and then, okay, I'm done, out the door. In other words, you're not listening to Him. I'm not listening to Him if we don't hear from the Word. And I ask people, do you do daily devotions? No. Once in a while. They usually say, once in a while. And then my second question is, do you eat every day? If you're willing to feed your body, fleshly body, every day for the nutrition that your body needs, why do you not feed your spiritual body every day? So if you can see your spiritual body, your physical body might be really good condition, your spiritual body is malnourished because you don't feed that spiritual body with the Word of God. Am I making sense to you? So, you're doing daily devotion, right? You are going to, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. And some of you are thinking, I don't like this guy. I'm not running for the office. I don't care. Second point. Mary's love for Jesus did not hold anything back. You see, she didn't go down to the Walmart in Bethany, buy El Cheapo perfume and dump it on Jesus. This spikenard is a very expensive. If I understood it correctly, it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime thing. A young woman got help from the mom and dad, and they buy this perfume for the wedding. And they use it for the special wedding day. According to comment made by Judas in verse 5, let's go there. Verse 5, there you go. Why was this fragrant oil was sold for the 300 denarii and given to the poor? 300 denarii. One denarii is one day's wage. In other words, 300 days, if you count all the Passover days so you don't work that day, practically it's 1 year's wage. Are you with me? It's that expensive. It's like writing a check for an entire year income and give it to God. Here's my offering to you. Listen. I love the way King David said. Like King David, Mary would not give it to the Lord which cost her nothing. Keep your finger in John, 2 Samuel chapter 24. Last chapter of the 2 Samuel, please. Chapter 24, verse 24. And the king said to Aruna, no, I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer a burnt offering to the Lord, to my God, with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for the 50 shekels of silver. Aruna told the king, I will give you all this, the land, threshing floor, and the oxen, and the cart for the burnt offering, right here. Take it. King can do whatever he wants to do, right? He could say, thank you, it's mine now. But he said, I will not offer to the Lord that cost me nothing. Majority of us don't know how to do that. We calculate our love to God, whether it is our time, praying, reading the Bible, serving at the church, or giving money to the church. Mary's love for Jesus was not calculated love, rather it's abandonment for Jesus. Her love was the kind of love that gives everything but regret that she does not have enough more to give. True definition of love is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not about the love between husband and wife only, but it's also love for between the Lord and us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many of you ladies love this portion. But let's look at it in different point of view. Verse 4. Some of your version says love is a patient, or this your version said love suffers long. Love is kind, love does not envy, love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in truth, in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things. It starts with a patient and ends with a patient. That's true love. It's funny, sometimes rather actually pathetic, how we calculate our love for God. Somehow we think that we can balance our love with God, balance the books with God. How can we ever match His love for us? Have you ever thought about that? Trying to match God's love for us? We owe money. Majority of us owe money to our mortgage to the mortgage company. Am I correct? Majority of us, okay, somebody don't have a mortgage. How nice. Many of us owe money for your vehicle. And many of us have a credit card bills. But somehow we think that we can balance the book with God. Where did we come up with that idea? Every believer of Jesus Christ should be Mary, who worship the Lord and listen to the Lord and through the Word of God, and be a Martha who served Him and others. Great example to follow. You know, while I was doing this, I want to see how expensive women's perfumes are. I didn't know how expensive they were. The most expensive one is $1 million. Yeah. The case itself is made out of gold and silver, pure gold and silver. This is the one I was interested in. Clive Christian No. 1 Imperial Majesty from Saks Fifth Avenue, selling for mere $435,000. $435,000. With that, people can buy, pay off the mortgage, pay off the vehicles, pay off all the credit card, and have money left over. Unreal. More money than the whole building we have here. Ladies, tell your husband that's what you want for your birthday. You know, some people have more money than the brains they have. Verse 4. Now we see the abhorrence of the Judas for Jesus. Verse 4. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil then not sold for the 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Verse 6. His editorial note by the Apostle John. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief who had a money box and he used to take what was put in it. Verse 7. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Stop there again. You know, we call our daughters Mary. We have about 3 Marys in our church. But we never call our son's name Judas. Because that name is a synonym of betrayal. Verse 4 records the first comment of Judas in the all 4 Gospels. And rather, verse 5. This comment he made shows his cunning and deceitful mindset. Judah was the most tragic person ever lived in the human history. He is the most despicable character. And he was not concerned about the poor because he was embezzling money for his own selfish motive. A man like a Judas, listen, man like a Judas was only can bloom in a sphere of Christianity. He would be lost in the world because there are millions of Judas who would betray Christ for anything. Judas teaches us that outward appearance can be deceptive. You with me on that? Outward appearance can be deceptive. Many people have a religious facade that hide their personal sin, personal and secret. Some people have written a book about the Judas. They said, well, he was a misguided patriot. Some people would say, when he was a kid, his mom did not birth him. There is a Swedish word for that, in pig's eyes. Or there's a Spanish word, muy pupu. Judas lived 3 years of his life in proximity of the truth, like no other, except the 11 disciples. He was with Jesus constantly. There are probably some people here in this morning who have been living in the privilege of the close proximity of the truth as well. You come to church, you hang around with the people, fellow believers in Christ, but your mind is far away from the truth. You will betray God any time because you have a desire to follow the worldly influences. When it comes to R-rated movies, when it comes to the X-rated movies, you don't have a problem watching that thing. And if there is a dirty jokes, you are part of it. Is that how you glorify God? And ladies, you are not off the hook. Soap opera. Or some of these reality shows on TV. Do you get edified by watching that kind of thing? Wow, it's quiet. You may say, well, at least I'm not Judas. I don't sell Jesus for a profit. Listen, anyone who does not receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and that person is selling Jesus for his own benefit. What is the money, career, sex, friend, ambition, or pride? They are selling Jesus for those things. They are making excuses. They are refusing Jesus in their heart for what they want. Am I making sense to you? Go to Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest. Right after this incident, he went to the chief priest. Why? What did he do? To sell the Lord Jesus. No doubt that the Lord's rebuke that was the tipping point for him to think, okay, I'm not getting a whole lot out of here. On top of all, he also remembered, Jesus mentioned about his death time after time. He said, maybe it's time to jump the ship while I can. Mary was preparing for Jesus for his burial with the whole adoration. While Judas was preparing in his mind to betray Jesus with his abhorrence. Two polar opposites. As she broke the alabaster jar, the spikenard, and poured the anointment upon Jesus, Mary showed us about true worship. Point number one, true worship comes from brokenness. True worship comes from brokenness. When we are finally at the wit's end and broken, we humble ourselves before the Lord and worship Him. Go to Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. In your broken spirit, in your contrite spirit and broken heart, you worship the Lord and God is right there with you. Second point. The true worship is often costly. It costs Mary a lot. What does our worship cost you and me? I'm not talking about worship here for about 20, 25 minutes before the teaching starts. That's just a tiny, tiny portion of worship of God. Are you with me on that? Don't limit your thinking at the singing worship, singing songs to the Lord is worship. Your worship is your daily life. If your worship stops right here and not at all for the rest of the week, you are in a sorry stage of the spiritual condition. Your worship should be your life. You should live for God, adore Him, love Him with your life 24/7. So how is your worship? You may say, there is no way I'm going to sing that song, or there is no way I can live for God every day. I have a social life to live on. Do they send you to heaven? Come on, answer me back. Who sent you to heaven? Then shouldn't you worship Him more than your buddies, or your family members, or even your spouse? Or even your children? Let's get that thing right. Your first priority is God. Followed by, guess what? Not your children. Husbands, wives, not your children. Spouse. Then your children. Many ladies put the children before their husband and their... That is why there's a constant fight in the family. Put your husband in the second priority. See how that man becomes a spiritual leader in your house. Ask yourself, whom do I worship really? If it's a God, it really doesn't matter what others think or what you think. If it is the people or things, your object of worship is wrong. You must remove your pride to worship the Lord properly. Third point, true worship is often misunderstood. True worship is often misunderstood. There will always be those in Judah's corner who said, quit trying to be so holy or do something more practical. They will scrutinize your sincere motive of worship. Your answer should be, let them. God loves your worship. However, if you are causing commotion in your life to draw attention to yourself, walking around with a sign behind you, I am holy, and then give out a neon business card, I am reverend. By the way, don't ever call yourself reverend. There is only one person in the universe who is to be revered, Scott, not you. Your holiness, your righteousness, your godliness comes from your life, not from what you hand out. Know what you tell people. Fourth point of true worship is always beneficial. After Mary wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair took on the same fragrance as Jesus' feet. That's what worship does. When we are worshiping the Lord, we get to take on the fragrance of the Lord. Are you with me? While you're worshiping the Lord, while you live the life that worshiping Him, other people will notice. Alright, verse 9. We need to wrap it up. Now the great many of the Jews knew that He was there, Jesus was there, and they came. Not for Jesus' sake only, but that many might, they might also see Lazarus, whom He had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put the Lazarus to death also. Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. There are no record of the words from Lazarus in the Gospels. But his daily walk was enough to convince people that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen, Lazarus became a living became a literal living witness who was used by God to bring people to salvation. Guess what? We should be like him. We should be Lazarus. Not dying and coming back to life physically, but spiritually. Are you with me on that? Go to Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Amen? Because his effective witness, Lazarus was persecuted by the religious leaders and willing to kill him again. Poor guy just cannot stay out of the grave. As we look at this event, we see three representatives, who are the example for us to follow. Martha, representative work, as she served the dinner, and she had prepared for the Lord. And this was as much fragrant offering as there was Mary's ointment. Mary represented worship, and Lazarus represented witness. People came to Bethany just to be able to see the man who had been raised from the dead. Actually, Christian life ought to be beautiful balance of worship, work, and witness. Can you say that with me? Worship, work, and witness. Say it one more time. Worship, work, witness. And don't be like Judas. Three applications. Number one, don't try to calculate how much you give and what we do for God. We can never outgive God. Say it with me. We can never outgive God. Second application. We can fool others with our religious facade, but not God. Let's be honest with God, with others, and ourselves. Third application. We should examine our own heart and homes to ask whether we are bringing joy to His heart by our worship, work, and witness. Amen?